Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas, and my goodness, what an exciting time this January has been, right? There are a couple of new indie games in Game Pass, like Windjammers 2 or Nobody Saved the World, release of remasters like Shadowman Remastered or Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection for PS5, God of War and Monster Hunter Rise were released for PC too, Ubisoft released Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction, and Nintendo is enjoying success with Pokémon Legends Arceus. But things really took off that month in terms of corporate takeovers. First, Monster Games, responsible for the NASCAR Heat Racing game series, was acquired by iRacing.com Motorsport Simulations. Then Take-Two bought Zynga, known for social networks and mobile games like Farmville, for around $12.7 billion. Microsoft shook the video game industry with the news that it planned to acquire Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion, and Sony rounded out the month with the acquisition of Bungie for $3.6 billion. So let's talk about the fact that Bungie will soon be part of the PlayStation family. First of all, I want to clarify that this is not a reaction from Sony to the takeover of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft. That's not how it works. You can't react within 2 weeks and just spend $3.6 billion. Sony and Bungie have been negotiating this deal for the last 5 or 6 months. And Bungie has been looking for a buyer since 2020. There were also rumors that Microsoft was interested in buying, but Bungie's price was too high for them. It was said that Bungie wanted a little over $2 billion, and as sentimental as that would have been for Xbox fans, I thought the $2 billion was overpriced at the time. Sony is now even putting down $3.6 billion, made me stunned. However, the acquisition is, from Sony's point of view, as of right as the possible Activision Blizzard buyout is from Microsoft's point of view. Microsoft absolutely has to strengthen the mobile sector to avoid being left behind. Activision Blizzard owns King and thus Candy Crush, and this will eliminating the problem. Real money is made with other service games like World of Warcraft and especially Call of Duty, and game brands like Call of Duty, Warcraft, Starcraft, Overwatch, Spyro the Dragon, or Crash Bandicoot are simply legendary. In addition, there are numerous other developer studios. This is important to improve Game Pass in the medium and long term. You will only be able to play brands like the aforementioned plus Doom, Wolfenstein, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Halo, Fable, Banjo-Kazooie, Forza, Gears, etc. in Game Pass, and this should sell the subscription alone. On the other hand, Sony has many good brands like Uncharted, Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, or God of War, plus successful licensed games like Spider-Man. But all these games have in common that they are single-player games. Of course, single-player games with outstanding quality, but the disadvantage with these games is that they take a long time to develop, but are sometimes played through quite quickly. Why is that a problem? Sony also realizes that they can't just sell consoles forever. We will have several subscription services that work independently of the service at some point. It is similar to how it will already be in the movie industry with Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime Video, or Apple TV Plus. However, every few years, a big AAA single-player game would not be enough to carry such a subscription service. There would also need to be more multiplayer games and service games. You can see with Sea of Thieves, some plays this like an MMO and just they subscribe to Game Pass because they can also play other service games like Fallout 76, Elder Scrolls Online or Forza Horizon 5 in addition to Sea of Thieves, and these games are then enriched with single-player experiences. However, Sony currently has nothing in the multiplayer area. The first attempt with Destruction All-Stars failed. The multiplayer for The Last of Us 2 could be important, but it is unclear when it will be released. Ghost of Tsushima had a tremendous multiplayer expansion. Apparently, Sony is experimenting in this area, but nothing sustainable has come of it so far. Then in April 2021, Sony partnered with Firewalk Studios, which was founded in 2018. The studio includes, for example, Ryan Ellis, creative director on Destiny, Elena Siegman, a producer on Guitar Heroes 2, Bioshock Infinite, and several Destiny titles, and other developers who have worked on franchises like Mass Effect and Apex Legends. Firewalk is working on a standalone multiplayer IP for PlayStation 5, and there are no further details yet. Still, it was already a hint that Sony secured an exclusively multiplayer game directly from a new studio. If this new brand becomes successful, the studio could also become a takeover candidate. In June 2021, Sony announced that the new studio Deviation Games will also work on an exclusive game for PS5. This studio was founded by former Call of Duty veterans, and even though it's not yet clear what they are specifically working on, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a multiplayer shooter. So, Sony entered into partnerships last year in the areas where they had a gap in their portfolio. This was also true for some of last year's acquisitions. In July, Sony took over Nixes, an expert studio for PC porting. This makes sense considering that more and more Sony games are being released for PC. With FireSprite, they bought the inventors of the Wipeout series, so if they want to do something with the series again, they would have the right development studios. But most importantly, this studio has a lot of VR expertise, and Sony is finally launching PlayStation VR 2 this year. It's fitting then that FireSprite's first game, Horizon Call of the Mountain, will be the VR spin-off from the Horizon series. Sony is looking for partnerships in the multiplayer area and wants to expand in this regard. And that's precisely why the takeover of Bungie makes sense. Sony finally has a first-person shooter studio because Guerrilla prefers to work on Horizon instead of Killzone, and if you're honest, the Killzones were never super good either. I like the art design and atmosphere, but other representatives were better gameplay-wise. And Insomniac's Resistance never took off the way everyone hoped it would, but they are busy with Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine now anyway. If you move away from first-person shooters, Sony could still react to the SOCOM series, which I would be pleased about, but then it's already slowly coming to an end. Now imagine that Sony puts all Destiny's 2 expansions day one into the new PlayStation subscription service in the future. That alone would be a reason for many to stay subscribed. The same would apply to a new shooter brand from Bungie, because at some point, maybe in 2025 or 2026, they will also make a new game which will not be called Destiny. Is this game then exclusively for PS5, PC and mobile? That's possible. Or it will be multi-platform. One thing you have to hand it to Bungie is that their games feel good. The gunplay is usually stellar. I remember lusting over Destiny 1 because I loved the art design and gameplay so much. Hey, I even have a signed print of artwork from Destiny framed hanging in my office. It was limited to 200 copies and I bought it from the Bungie store. The shooter expertise Sony is now buying into will pay off for them, since other PlayStation studios could also exchange information with Bungie in this regard. Bungie will not be part of PlayStation Studios, but an independent division within the PlayStation family that will release its own games. The games will be published on the platform where the Bungie community is. Say also Destiny 2 will not be exclusive, but will remain multi-platform. But that's the right way for a service, a game, see Elder Scrolls Online. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it will stay that way forever. It would certainly be exclusive if Bungie were to make another classic game with a campaign. Multi-platform is also not defined, so what if Sony defines multi-platform as PS5, PC and mobile? Or if they even adopt the Game Pass definition, i.e. on all platforms where the new PlayStation subscription service is available. I found it interesting that Pete Parsons, a CEO of Bungie, talked about the day of the acquisition beginning Bungie's journey to becoming a global multimedia entertainment company. Several times he mentioned that they also want to address different media, so probably TV series or movies as a supplement. Bungie seems to have a lot planned, and maybe their new brand will be so good that Sony paid so much because of it. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz, Jim Ryan, head of Sony Interactive Entertainment, went into more detail about the Bungie acquisition. In it, he reiterated that Bungie will remain an independent multi-platform studio and will operate autonomously within Sony Interactive Entertainment. I also liked his comment that Sony let studios grow organically, but they also made acquisitions like Naughty Dog, Guerrilla, Sucker Punch, or Insomniac. I still remember statements after Microsoft's Bethesda acquisition about how vital organic growth was to them. That was sort of chosen as a counterpoint to Microsoft's acquisition strategy as an interview at the time. And then they bought six studios in 2021 and now Bungie for $3.6 billion. And all of a sudden he's explaining that they've always been acquiring studios and not just growing organically. Also, he said in an interview, and I quote, "We are starting to go multi-platform. You've seen that. We have an aggressive roadmap with live services," end quote. If he mentioned in 2020 how important his single-player games are, with which Sony is so successful, he is now quite obviously also pursuing a live service strategy. But well, he also said that they believed in generations and they bring three big cross-gen games this year. In 2020, he also said that it wouldn't be worth it for them to put their games into a subscription model on day one. Curious to see when that statement will be revised. Of course, the day one releases will come at some point, just like PC users won't have to wait 1.5 years or longer for former PS exclusive games to be released on PC. God of War is an actual sales hit on Steam, so I wouldn't be surprised if PC releases in the future will be very close to PS5 releases, and sometime even at the same time. Sony will also go the Game Pass route and include all games in the Day One subscription in the future. Just simply because the consolidation continues and more companies are buying studios and brands. Also to prevent them from appearing in other subscription services. Because we're not just talking about PlayStation, Xbox and Nintendo. At some point, Amazon, Meta and Apple will also really get into the game. We will see many more acquisitions, and Jim Ryan even announced that there will be next acquisitions from Sony. And that will be interesting, because Sony has mostly bought individual studios for a few hundred million US dollars so far, but now for the first time the money bag was really opened with 3.6 billion US dollars. Is this a sign that smaller publishers like Square Enix could be bought? I think that anything is possible. Personally, I don't care if Sony, Microsoft or Nintendo buy studios. Or even publishers. These companies have at least 20 years of experience in the console market. I would have concerns if Amazon and co. suddenly bought all these studios. If Meta bought Blizzard, for example, you needed a Facebook account to log into the games, I would hate that. But I fear that such a horror scenario will also happen. That some long-established studio publisher I'm attached to gets bought out by a company I want nothing to do with. So I'm already taking a breath and a kind of relief that Microsoft has snatched up Bethesda and Blizzard. So we will see what will happen for Xbox players. Nothing will change in regards of Destiny 2. And yeah, looking forward to the future. And there will be funny times ahead in the video games industry. What other news was there? Like its predecessor, MLB The Show 2020 will be available in Game Pass on day one on April the 5th. The co-op and PvP multiplayer game Evil Dead The Game has been delayed again from February to May 13th. Hey, on my birthday. I like it when games come out on my birthday. It was the same with Doom 2016. The studio Certain Affinity is said to be working on two projects for Xbox. One is a battle royale mode for Halo Infinite, and the other one is a game inspired by Monster Hunter. According to Jess Corden, the latter is being developed under the project name Project Suerte. I don't know how I pronounce this, and will be a game with multiplayer, where the focus is on large monster battles. However, the game will only be unveiled in 2023 and then released in 2024. Sega Sammy sells its own arcade and leisure center business completely. Thus, Sega disappears from the Japanese arcades after more than 50 years. By the way, the sale could also make Sega an attractive takeover candidate, since many potential buyers would not have been able to do anything with the arcades, so you have to watch if something could happen in the future. Ubisoft has announced that the shooter Rainbow Six Extraction has reached more than 3 million players across platforms in the first week after release. I have to admit that I didn't have the nerve for the game. I basically quit in the tutorial. Instead, I played through Windjammers 2, 28 years after the first game. We actually got a sequel to the popular Frisbee game in January, even directly in Game Pass. Anyone who liked the predecessor can grab this one, for sure. Hand-drawn graphics, no more pixel look, new mechanics, but proven gameplay. Two players face each other on the playing field. Behind them are several goals, which bring different points. The goal is to get the frisbee into the opponent's goal. Depending on the goal zone, there are then up to 5 points, and whoever has 15 points first wins the set. But this is arcade action, because the frisbee gets faster and faster, and each character can also perform special attacks, almost like in beat 'em ups. There are 10 different characters, which differ in attributes like speed or throwing power, and different playing fields from the normal beach to streak backyard. The whole thing is fun, but it's also brutally hard in higher difficulty levels. I am satisfied because I could play this game on Game Pass. I had fun, but I noticed that there's relatively little content. You get through the few maps and modes with a few mini games pretty quickly, and then only the difficulty levels and multiplayer matches remain. It's best to just download it yourself, so try it. I can also directly recommend Nobody Saves the World, which landed in the Game Pass on day one also. It's an action role-playing game from the makers of Guacamelee, a Diablo in comic book style, so to speak, where you are a shapeshifter and can fight as a dragon, knight, archer, rat, or snail. Each form has different advantages and its own attack techniques, which can be leveled up. You are nobody who wakes up in a hut without memory and pants to find the wizard Nostromagus. He has disappeared, and you try to find him. You'll be helped by a magic wand, and thanks to which you'll be able to take on 17 different guises. The campaign lasts around 20 hours. I've only been able to play a few hours myself. I like the art style, world map, and gameplay. Hand-drawn and colorful graphics are gorgeous, and you get presented a world full of humor and varied soundtrack. Sure, it doesn't reinvent anything, but I had fun expanding my skill tree. Of course, the game gets exciting in co-op. I don't know if I still enjoy the game as much after 10 hours as I did after the first few. I'll be sure to report it at some point. I'd like to end the episode on a note that I played through the CRPG Pillars of Eternity. Yes, in 2018, when Microsoft bought studios like InXile or Obsidian, I told myself I wanted to play through all the Xbox Studios games. Couldn't have known that Microsoft would suddenly buy Bethesda, ZeniMax, and Activision Blizzard. I've been putting off the Pillar series ever since, and I'm glad I found the time to play through the first one. The controls on consoles are okay, but especially in the fights, despite pausing, they are too hectic for me. The menus and especially the inventory management are also not well solved. Loading times are still too long despite SSD, but I had my fun because Obsidian has created a truly enjoyable world with good characters. Of course, you have to read a lot, really a lot, but if you get into it, you will experience one of the better Western computer role-playing games on Xbox. But don't forget, it's a isometric perspective, pre-rendered background, and the camera can't be turned. So if you liked early games like Baldur's Gate or Icewind Dale, this is for you. I then tweeted the following on January 24. I finished Pillars of Eternity on my Xbox, really good CRPG by Obsidian. I will start Deadfire now. Vielen Dank at G. Sawyer für diese interessante Spielwelt. G. Sawyer is Josh Sawyer, the game director of the game, who then even replied to me, quote, ausgezeichnet, gratuliere, ich hoffe, Deadfire freut dich auch, end quote. And that last sentence basically means, excellent, congratulations, I hope Deadfire pleases you too. And that tweet then put a smile on my face, and yes, I really did start Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. I like it so far, but I'm also playing on easy because of the awkward controls, so I'm primarily interested in the world and its story. In this world, we'll then also play Avowed, and that is then a completely modern role-playing game from Obsidian, on which I'm very excited. That should have been it for this week. Thank you for listening. Follow me on Twitter at XboxMojo. The future is bright and the mojo is coming back. Until next time, your Thomas.